This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. I got a newsletter in my inbox today, one article of which was titled, Does Your DNA Spell Out CEO? I have no idea. Honestly, my guess is probably not. But at the cost of a little bit of spit and $100, I could find out. 23andMe, the personal genomics and biotechnology company that started back in 2006, now has one of its tests back on the market after the FDA raised some objections a couple of years ago. To be clear, and in all seriousness, they don't test for the CEO gene, if that's even possible. But co-founder and CEO Anne Wojcicki has some big plans for her company. Anne, welcome to the program.
Nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
I'm not sure I've ever started an interview with this question, but how's the genetics business these days?
I have to say the genetics business is going well. We just reached critical mass. We hit our millionth customer. We have an FDA, approval to start to remarket some of our health reports. And we just are getting incredible enthusiasm from our customers.
All right. Well, there's a lot to unpack in there. First of all, why is a million users, a million people critical mass for you? Why is that a magic number?
I don't think it was such a magic number. It was more the idea that with a million people in the country walking around with their genetic information, empowered with information about themselves and their health and their ancestry, it starts to spread because in some ways the genetic information is so interesting and catchy that each person is going and talking to their family and their friends that you start to create a disruption. And the reason why we started this company is because I believe that genetic information will be the foundation for the next way we deliver healthcare.
One of the things you said in that first answer where you said things are going great is that the FDA has just approved you guys to remarket one of your reports, one of your tests. Mm-hmm. They pulled your personal genetic test off the market about, 18 months, 2 years ago, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. I wonder if you guys were a little cocky out of the gate.
I don't think we were cocky for that. I think if I roll back the clock, what happened is that when we launched, we really believed that we were an information company, that we're empowering individuals to get access to their genetic information, and we're connecting you to publicly available literature. When we got that warning letter, it was genuinely a surprise. Like, I really believe, like, we're trying to do things that democratize healthcare for people. And I look at the FDA as the watchdog for, people's health. And I think that's part of what I felt like our mission is really trying to do is democratize it, enable people to get access to this. You know, it's $100. What other healthcare product of this level of complexity can you say that you can get for $100? So we've worked really hard to make this available and accessible, and we wanted the FDA to be our ally. That said, I think that we understand now that it's a regulated environment, and there's certain protocol and steps to follow, and we understand that, and we have now the team. We have a fabulous team in place now that is executing on that.
Let me get really cynical then and just throw out a hypothetical, right? Mm-hmm. Let's say a drug maker who's involved in Parkinson's or somebody who's involved in cystic fibrosis comes to you and says, hey, Anne, here's $1 gazillion for all your genetic data on these kinds of people.
So we always, when we set up the company, like we really set it up thinking about the patient or the customer in mind. And we do a lot of partnerships with pharma companies because we feel like that's the best interest of the consumer in order to make meaningful discoveries from the data. But if a consumer doesn't like what we do, they always have the ability to close their account, delete their data, and not participate in any more research. We see our consumers as our primary customer and as our partner. And so we have to do the research that reflects the interests of our customers.
Ideal world, what does genetic medicine and more importantly 23andMe's business model and protocol look like, 10 years from now? How are you guys doing?
So if you look at the history of drug discovery and you look at the pharma lobbying group, every single year for the last couple decades, it has become more inefficient and harder to develop new therapies. And what I see as success is if we can actually change that by having a genetic approach to drug discovery. And I think there's almost this sort of Moneyball kind of take on this where we're coming with a very different approach. And if we can actually decrease the failure rate from 9 out of 10 drugs failing in clinical trials, and we can have 7 out of 10 instead failing, that is a major victory for drug discovery and for people having better therapies. That's my goal.
Anne Wojcicki, the co-founder and CEO of 23andMe. Anne, thanks very much for your time.
Thanks so much.